It's a powerful song we just sang. I want to take a moment and really look at the words of what we just sang. They're inspired by Scripture. As the songwriter, was looking at the Scriptures, he wrote these words with thoughts of the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to read the words here and just take a moment to soak them in and listen to what they have to say. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like a living flame. For through his loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. The beauty of this song and its words is it contains a deep core and rooted truth of what the Lord's Supper is all about. Someone just read a scripture reading for us just a moment ago about Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper in Luke chapter 22. And it talks about remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. It talks about his blood and his body and what they represent and what they do for us. Us as Christians sometimes can get into a habit of just doing this because it's what Christians do. As I was a young Christian coming into the faith and just getting baptized, I was told we take this to do remember Jesus. It was something we're supposed to do because I'm baptized now. And it was something, it was more of just a checkbox. It was something I didn't really think about and consider within my life. But the Lord's Supper has a lot of depth to it. It has a lot more meat in it than just something we simply do because we're told to, because we're Christians. It has everything to do with who we are. And the song that we just sang talks about that. It's at the core of who we are as Christians and of our life. And we're going to see that today as we look at the Scriptures. The purpose of today's lesson is to learn the importance of the Lord's Supper so that we can take it with the correct mindset. We're going to see why we take the Lord's Supper, why it's important, and we're going to see the impact the Lord's Supper has or should have on our lives and even those outside of the church. Some believe that the first Lord's Supper after its institution is an Acts on the day of Pentecost. I want to put before you a different idea today, because Luke, in his writing of his letter, of his account of Acts, doesn't ever use the word the Lord's Supper. He uses the word for a common meal. The common language, he just said, they broke bread together. And this could have been interpreted many different ways, but Luke uses it for the Lord's Supper. So whenever we read the text, we have to see, is this a Lord's Supper or is this a common meal that they ate together? And so we're going to look at something that might possibly be the very first Lord's Supper, and it has some really important implications for us. And so this story that we're going to look at is also in Acts, and it comes at a very dark time in the history of the New Testament. Jesus has just been crucified, and there's these disciples who are crushed. They're hopeless. They don't know that their Savior has risen. He's dead. Everything that they've sacrificed, their whole life that they have committed to him is gone. The one who was supposed to be their king is dead, and they don't know what's happening. They're confused, and they're lost, and they're afraid. And so there's these men, and they're walking home, just completely wrecked, and they don't know what is next. And as they're walking down this road, a man comes and starts walking beside them. And he begins talking with them, and something starts to stir inside of them. There's a fire within his words, and he explains things to them, and something starts to itch in the back of their mind. And they're having a really good conversation. And they are nearing a town, and the day is starting to wind down, and so they're going to stop for the evening to eat and get some food and rest up. And they say, stay with us. Stay with us. Don't continue on. We want you to continue to talk with us and eat with us. And that's where we're going to pick up here in Luke chapter 24 and verses 29 through 43. And so we're going to read what they have to say here. Luke 24, verses 29 through 43. And this is what it says. And they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, because it's getting toward evening. And by this time the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And it happened that he was reclining at the table with them, and he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and after breaking it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he became invisible to them. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those with them and assembled and saying, the Lord has really been raised and has appeared to Simon. And they began describing what happened on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were saying these things, he himself stood there among them, and they were startled and became terrified and thought they had seen a ghost. And he said to them, why are you frightened? And for what reason do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. You see that I have flesh and bones in myself. I am not a ghost. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieving because of joy and were marveling, he said to them, do you have anything to eat here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. What's really interesting about this story is the language that's used about the breaking of the bread and the disciples' reaction. It says they recognized him in the breaking of the bread, and he'd given thanks. And so this imagery, this language, is the same language Luke uses two chapters earlier for the Lord's Supper's institution in Luke chapter 22. It's imagery that's supposed to be mirrored. And this cues us into something special is happening here. And it changes their lives. It changes their whole mindset about what's happening with Jesus. And they can't help but go and share it. They go and proclaim it. So the opening of the eyes and the proclamation of the Lord's Supper is important. And we want to hang on to that, because we're going to look at here 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so if you want to turn there, we're going to read there, because it's really important to this. And Paul's going to bring this up. It's really funny. I'd asked if this had been preached on recently, and it generally isn't talked about a whole lot. And so I prepared this whole sermon, and then it was talked about today, which I find the funniest thing. But that's really good, because you guys need to hear it again. It's so important, and we don't think about the Lord's Supper very often as important as it should be. This is core. This is central to everything. So we're going to look at Paul's instructions here to the Corinthian church, because they're struggling. They're divided. They're not taking this the way they should. They're not giving it the proper weight or considering one another. And so Paul's going to say, I'm going to correct this because it's really important that we do. So we're going to pick up reading in verse 17 of chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 and following. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For indeed it is necessary that there be factions among you, in order that those who are approved may become evident. Therefore, when you come together in the same place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For when you eat it, each one of you goes ahead to take his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunk. For do you not have houses for eating and drinking, or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who do not have anything? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup they had eaten, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this and drink it as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself, and in this way let him eat from the bread and let him drink from the cup. For the one who eats and drinks, if he does not recognize the body, eats and drinks judgment against himself. Because of this, many are weak and sick among you, and quite a few have died. But if we evaluate ourselves, we would not be judged. But if we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined in order that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together in order to eat the Lord's Supper, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And I will give directions about the remaining matters whenever I come." The context of this verse is really important that we understand it, because it answers a lot of questions we might have about this text. The church here was not considering one another. They didn't look to each other. They weren't in fellowship and unity. They were divisive. They were divided. They were fighting. And this wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And they took this bread and they ate this meal together and they drank the cup and they didn't take the Lord's Supper. We also can sometimes drink the bread, or eat the bread and drink the cup and not take the Lord's Supper. We must be careful to consider the words of Paul here. Notice the seriousness of this that Paul highlights. He says, because of this, it's not for the better, but for the worse. This is bad. This is hurting you. And not only that, some of you have become sick. Some of you have fallen away, and some have even died. That's the language Paul uses. That's how serious this is. Life or death. Better or worse. This is at the core of everything. As we continue on reading, we see a list of things that the Lord's Supper is important to. It tells us what it does. In verse 24, we see what we've already looked at, a remembering of what Jesus has done. And we see this in Luke, Matthew, and Mark, the remembrance aspect. We also see an aspect of thanksgiving, giving thanks for what Jesus has done for us, praying as part of this. As we continue on, Paul highlights in verse 26 a proclamation. We don't often talk about that, and we'll come back to that here in a second. And an anticipation. And then, as he continues on in verse 28, we see an examination. And I want to look deeper at this examination as we get into this, because this is really important. What was the church supposed to examine for? And this is what context really tells us very well. The church there was supposed to examine the body of Christ. That's what it says. And the answer to what were they doing wrong? They were doing it divisively. They weren't doing it together. They weren't doing it in fellowship. And as you read through this, you can continually see that you're divided. And examine yourselves and take this, seeing each other. Consider one another. Take this together. Wait for one another. That's Paul's instruction and answer. So as we take this and look at this, we see that we need to look. And are we in fellowship with each other, doing the work of the Lord together? Are we celebrating what he has done for us together? Are we living out of that? That's what Paul is trying to tell the church here. He says, look to yourselves. How are you with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Am I fighting with somebody? Am I being divisive with somebody when I need to be uniting with them and sharing the gospel, with proclaiming and anticipating the Lord's return? And they in the church there had a very interesting and unique problem in that there was rich and poor. And that's where this seems to this divide to have come in. The rich would go ahead and take everything. And they wouldn't leave anything for the poor to take behind them. They weren't taking the meal together. They were taking it in kind of separate stages. He says, you each take your own meal. And that's not the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be together. That's what this feast came from. The disciples were all together with Jesus. The whole family would get together to take this and remember what the Lord had done, to remind them what they were going to live out of through the next year, of what God had done to save them from Israel. or not from Israel, from Egypt. Israel from Egypt. And so that is what we now take every Sunday. It's something to live out of. And we should live out of it together. I want to move on and look now at the proclamation and the anticipation. Our proclamation in the Lord's Supper is the gospel. It's the good news of the faith. Paul tells the church in 1 Corinthians 2:2 that he sought to teach them only Christ and him crucified. And then he goes on to expound more in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 11. And I want to read that because it's really important as we take this meal that we think about this. Because this is what we proclaim every time we take it. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 11 says this. Now I make known to you, brothers, the gospel which I proclaim to you, which you also have received, and in which you also stand, by which you're also being saved, if you hold fast to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe to no purpose. For I passed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised up on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, the majority of who remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as it were one born at the wrong time, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been in vain. But I labored even more than all of them, and not I, but the grace of God with me. Therefore, whether I or those in this way we preached, and in this way you believed. The gospel we learn here is that Jesus came down, he became human, he lived, he suffered, and he died. And 3 days later, he rose again. And all of this was according to the Scriptures. And then Paul continues on. He says, I have been affected by Jesus. My life has changed. By the grace of God, I now go and do these things. And this is what we stand in. This is our core. The gospel is proclaimed and central to the Lord's Supper meal. And that is what we live out of. That's what Paul lived out of. Look at what it did to his life. What did he do? He went from someone who was a persecutor of the church to sacrificing everything for building the church, going to Rome, being imprisoned and beaten and lost. And he says, everything that I used to have was gain, I now consider loss. It's all for Jesus. And that is what he proclaimed to every church. He said, this is what who Jesus is. That's what he did for me. And now I go and live for him. And so whenever we take the Lord's Supper, that's what we say. We say, this is who Jesus is. This is what he did for us. And now I'm going to go live different. I'm going to go live for him. And they proclaimed that. And this pattern that was established of the Lord's Supper is established in Luke 22. And we see Paul mention that. He says, we taught you this. This is what you were told to do. This is what every church does. Is they take this, they proclaim this, they anticipate the Lord's coming once again. They anticipate the resurrection. And so if we look at what happens when we take communion this way, when we follow the pattern, we see something really interesting. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We're going to see the impact of the Lord's Supper on a community. At the very first institution of the church in Acts 2:42, we're going to see something really special happen on Pentecost. This is what it says in Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they were devoting themselves to the teachings of the apostles, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being performed by the apostles. And all who believed were in the same place, and had everything in common. And they began selling their possessions and property, and distributing these things to all to the degree that anyone had need. And every day devoting themselves to meeting with one purpose in the temple courts. Breaking bread from house to house, they were eating their food with joy and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding every day to the total of those who were being saved. We can see here the church had a regular rhythm. And remember Luke's language as he's writing in his letters, breaking of bread was his word for the Lord's Supper. Even Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians. And so we see here, they were breaking bread together in their homes. This is telling us they were eating together something probably very special as the Lord's Supper. And so through the language of Luke, we see they did this regularly. And out of doing this, they lived out of it. They impacted the world, and thousands were being saved daily is what it says. As they did what Jesus told them to do, as they did what was taught and the pattern that was set forth, it impacted the lives of those outside the church. As they proclaimed and anticipated and lived out of the fellowship that they had in this community through this meal, they went out and they impacted those around them. They said, look at who Jesus is, how awesome he is, what he's done for us. And they lived. They sacrificed everything for that. The proclamation of the death, burial, and resurrection is very important as we take this. So as we take this meal, what does this mean as we take this? It means as we're eating this, we're remembering what Jesus did. You know, we mourn for what he had to do, but we celebrate that he rose again and he did it all for us. And then we go out and we tell others about how it's changed our lives. We go and live out of this. We don't stop at just eating and praying and thinking about what God has done. We go out and say, this is what God has done. We go further than just thinking about it. We tell others about it. And we sacrifice for that message to be proclaimed. The great anticipation we have is the resurrection of the Lord. That's why we do all of this. It doesn't matter what we have to sacrifice now, because we have something much better at the end. Together, we'll all be together as a family. This unified the church, and it was all done together. They couldn't do it individually. They couldn't do it alone. That's what the church did wrong in 1 Corinthians. So together, we need to partake and go and proclaim. I want us to take a moment and reflect on what we've heard, what Paul's told us today. There's a remembrance, a thanksgiving, a fellowship, a proclamation, and anticipation. How are we doing in taking this communion? Are we proclaiming the message as we should? Are we anticipating the Lord's return? Are we doing this together? Have we remembered our Lord? Where can we grow? Today we remember the amazing gift of Jesus' life and the miraculous resurrection of what happened on the third day, and how one day we will live in the same resurrection. It's the story of the Bible, of what God has done for us, his people, through his Son. It allows us to become the beautiful children of God. It's an amazing gift, and we should thank him for it every day. And we should seek to share it every day, because it's such an amazing gift. We can't help but share it. It is the reason that those before us have sacrificed and suffered. He gave us life, and it's our mission to glorify him and bring others the same message that will bring them life also. Today we've looked at what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is. We've seen why it's important, and we've seen what sort of impact it should have on our lives and those outside of the church. This week, go out in the mindset of this body of Christ and proclaim the gospel. Try to share the love of Jesus with one person this week. Say hello to somebody. Say, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He died for me, and it's changed my life, and it could change yours too. Live out of communion with the Lord. If you're in need of prayer support in your walk with Jesus, or if you need to enter into covenant with him through baptism, please reach out to someone here. Come forward as we stand and sing.